Topics you care about by people you trust. This is The Clear Perspective, your healthcare cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy podcast. And now for the show.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining the Clear Perspective podcast today. I'm Kim Singletary. I'm the VP of Solution Marketing here at Clearwater, and I'm joined by...
Steve Meyer. I'm Director of Consulting Services and Certified High Trust Assessor.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. Now, let's talk about High Trust CSF version 11. I know everybody's waiting for the big reveal of what we started, but I want to give a little bit of background. So before we dive in, can you provide some information on the different CS versions and the options that organizations have today? And what is the expectation of when version 11 will be the default framework for assessments in the future?
Yeah, so currently clients are able to do different 9.x versions. 9.5, 9.6 are available for clients to use today. They can also choose to do different versions, CFS 11 versions. So there's 11.1 and 11.2, and both those are available to clients today.
Okay, so let's get to the meat of why we're meeting today. Version 11, as it's presented, has some hidden sub-requirements. And I want you to kind of explain what that means very specifically for our audience.
Yeah. When High Trust created version 11, they did a really wonderful thing. They took a lot of the things that were hidden in a version 9X assessment under the illustrative procedures, and they brought them right to the top level. So in a version 11 assessment, I can look at the assessment and I can clearly see all of the requirements that I need to meet to be successful in my assessment. Where in the past, if I had a version 9X assessment, if I really wanted to understand each and every requirement, I would have to go into the more info and then I would have to look at the illustrated procedures. And the illustrated procedures would then actually outline for me all of the specific requirements that I needed to meet in order to satisfy the statement. The thing is that there are some topics there where on the surface, you may look at it and go, I understand that requirement and what I need to provide. But then if you go look at the illustrated procedures, you would get a different view of what you needed to do.
So that's interesting. It's just a different experience when you're looking at the CSF or in my CSF. Is that correct? That you have to just be very cautious about what you want to detail and look at?
It is. And I'll give you an example that may kind of help the understanding here. In a version 9 assessment where you have a requirement that says a vendor defaults for wireless access points are changed prior to authorization, authorizing the implementation of an access point. On the surface, that seems very straightforward, right? So in my head, I'm thinking, well, as long as I'm changing the defaults and I have change controls and I can prove that I'm doing that work, I should be okay. And I have scans to verify that. But if I were to go in a 9X assessment and look at the requirements that I have to meet to satisfy that fully. One of those requirements is vendor default encryption keys. And then it talks about anytime a person with knowledge of the key leaves the company, those keys need to be changed and default SNMP values need to be changed. And you know, so while some of those things kind of meet that surface expectation at the high level requirement, when I read the requirement statement, I wouldn't necessarily think about when an employee leaves changing encryption keys, right? To me, those two things aren't quite associated. And in the version 11 assessment, they're not any longer. So they've actually taken those encryption key requirements and then moved those to their own requirement. But all those other requirements then are surfaced at the top level. So when I read the requirement statement, it's very clear, you know, here are the four items that I need to check off to be able to say I satisfy that control.
So in your opinion, you think version 11 just does a better job in categorizing, you know, what you're seeing there, because that to me, I wouldn't necessarily assume that either, because that was a very specific use case condition.
Yeah, and I think that's the key difference when I look at a version 11 assessment from a client standpoint. What I need to do to satisfy the control is very clear, and it's all up front. The only thing I would need to go to like more info to look at in a version 11 assessment might be clarification around sample set. But short of that, everything is laid out at the top level. In the 9X assessment, I felt like I was constantly having to go into more info and go into illustrative procedures to fully understand all of the different requirements that I would need to meet. And they were all like in paragraph form. So where in a version 11 assessment, it's bulleted, in a version 9X assessment, it's within a body of text that you have to pull out each of those requirements to satisfy.
You talked about one thing, but now if for those that are, 11 is a little bit more organized, all versions of 11, I should say, as organizations look forward, is there any other kind of sub-requirements that you feel like just have shifted or that they should start to prioritize because it's just not what they're used to if they were doing, any current 9 version?
I think you need to look at, so if an organization was doing an interim assessment against a version 9, let's say for an R2, they had done a full R2 under a 9X assessment, and they're coming up for their renewal on their interim for their 1-year anniversary, I would probably stick with the 9X assessment. You've already got all your data laid out. You know that your base assessment has been through the process and being QA'd and accepted. So that assessment in and of itself should be relatively good for the interim. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend upgrading to a version 11 assessment at that time. However, if you're beyond your interim cycle and now I'm going to a brand new assessment where I'm going to go in and start over, that would be the perfect time to enter into that version 11 assessment. And you can do a comparison. You can look at what control changes happen so you can see what their difference is from 9X to the version 11 that you're looking to implement. You can actually look at what those control differences are.
You bring up a good point, and I'm just not all that familiar. So, education for the audience who might be in my same shoes. In the interim, at what point in time, is there always kind of like, hey, if you started your initial assessment on this version, you just kind of recommended stay with the version that you're at. But is there any time that that people are going to have to, in their interim assessment, move to version 11 or move to the next available version? Like, what is the time span between that, or what does HITRUST kind of put out there as a guideline?
So HITRUST will, so your assessment when you start a version is valid for a period of time. And if you started it on a valid version and you had an interim, you would be able to continue that interim on that same version. Because it's a 2-year assessment, the interim is just a check-in to say, am I still compliant? But what HITRUST does is they will set sunset dates for each of the versions, and you're not able to start a version after the sunset. So there's a start by and a submit by date for those. And those are kind of the guardrails around, submitting those types of assessments.
For, the audience again, where do they find the estimated sunset date? And, how far in advance is that announced by HITRUST for these CSF versions?
It's announced well enough in advance that most clients would be able to keep up with that. HITRUST does a good job of putting out bulletins, and the bulletins really give you those sunset dates as they come up. I'm sure there's a place to find them on the HITRUST website. I'd have to go look at that, but I know they do come out in the bulletins that are periodically issued.
So good. I don't know of any other standard that is on version 11.x, whatever we're in right now, and keeps up with all of the state regulations and incorporates everything. So it's a really great framework, I think, for healthcare in general. And we're seeing more and more business associates and, healthcare contractors being asked to do a HITRUST version. For those that are just starting down this path, what version would you suggest? Obviously, this would be like the lowest level version. And just quickly explain that, assuming, they're looking at just getting started in this and they don't have a HITRUST assessment yet.
So I would say if you're going to start a HITRUST assessment and you're starting from scratch, you've not done anything in the past, I would go ahead and start with the most current version that's available. That just gives you more time to continue down that path with that assessment. And if you're collecting evidence and your policies are geared towards that particular version, you should be good for quite a period of time. It also allows you to preview as new versions come out and adapt your policies and procedures to those versions. If you start a version behind, you know, your rate of change will probably increase because as they sunset those versions, you would be required to make that adaptation. So by going with the latest version, probably gives you a little bit more time in your assessment window and allows you to control kind of the change a little bit better on the client end.
I think that's great advice. And you know, I really appreciate you taking the time today. As I said, there's a lot of ins and outs with these compliance procedures. HITRUST does a great job, but it's always helpful to get all of these tidbits in place. And I hope you learned something out there today. Again, Steve, thank you. Please subscribe if you like this podcast. We are helping healthcare organizations stay secure, compliant, and resilient.